Right. Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Everybody have a donut? There's a few more back there in case you want to clean them up for us. All right. I'm not going to tell anybody. Oh, there they go for their third donut or anything like that. Okay. So if you need to get another one, you go ahead and get one. They won't be any good by next Sunday. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn them with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. We're going to study again. We talked about last week kind of some personalities that necessarily we don't always talk about in the early birth of Christ and folks. And so last week we spoke about Zacharias, and that was John the Baptist's dad. And this week we're going to look at Simeon. And so there in Luke chapter number 2, and we will not read the entire Christmas story here, but we will begin to look here at just a few things that we want to see. And if you'll have your Bibles ready, I'd like to turn a few scriptures here early on and show you just a few things that I think are very, very interesting in this early parts. I may not read it all, but you could mark them down and that you could turn there. But in Luke chapter number 2, we'll kind of look at verse 21. And so the traditional Christmas story that we typically talk about is really held from verses 1 through 20. And so this is going to pick up just after that in verse 21, all right? Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to meet with us during our Sunday school time. Pray if you would. I talked to Pastor Carter this week, an update on him as he's just looking for someone to help him get some surgery sooner than later. He's had a few, pretty much everybody wants to put it off after the holiday, and you can understand that as well, but he is looking for something sooner. I think he's come to that realization, and he's doing other things to get ease of it, but pray for him. He did say that he'll probably slip in the service today, all right? And if you could be a help to him and not a hindrance to him. He doesn't want to stay around very long. He just felt like he's been out of church too long. And he said, if I hit everything right and I'm on the pain pills just at the right time, I should be able to go to church and then get back in the car. And so if you would allow him to do that, that I would thank you for that. And he will thank you for that. He knows you're praying. He knows you care for him. But just let him come to church and get back in the car, and so he can go home and rest. Amen. All right, let's pray together. Dear Lord, we do lift up Pastor Carter again to you, Lord. He's heavy upon our hearts and minds, Lord. We know that he's been in pain with all these different things, Lord, but we do pray for him, Lord. I pray that you would just allow him. I know that he's been looking at different places to be able to receive surgery and things for this. But God, it would be his will, it'd be my will, Lord, for you to just take it from him, to heal him and to just touch him, God. And we ask you to do that again today. And God, I pray you'd show yourself mighty like you have so many times in his life. And I pray that you would just make a miracle out of him during this miracle season of Jesus' birth, that you'd touch his body and heal him, Lord. If you choose not to do that, Lord, we'll still love you and honor you, Lord, and glorify you for all the great things that you've done for us, Lord. And if you choose to use the surgeons, God, I pray you would give one to him that would be able to do it in a timely fashion. Today, as we open your word, God, I pray you'd open our hearts and our minds to the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Verse 22, "And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him unto the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, I want to give you just a little bit of background on these passages of Scripture quickly, and then we'll dive into Simeon. I don't want to belabor our time, but I want you to be able to see some things, because a lot of powerful things went on there. And Jesus, again, comes from heaven as he is predicted, and things have to happen. Jesus, even in his young childhood, before he could do things for himself, his parents were responsible to do things for him. All right, and so these situations here, it's been predicted or told to them that they would call his name Jesus, which means God with us, Emmanuel, all right? And so they name him that according to what the angel had told them before he was ever conceived in the womb that was prophesied, and they did that. And it was their custom not to name a child until after he was given to the Lord or marked by circumcision, all right? That separated God's people from the Gentiles. And so circumcision happens on the eighth day, as it should if you were to turn back with me and look in Exodus chapter 13. You're going to see in some of those verses, let me read them again to you. It's really quoting in verse 23 and 24 there a little bit of what is, again, Exodus chapter 13 and Leviticus chapter 12. In verse 24, it says, as it is written in the law. So it's going to quote the Old Testament in Exodus 13 and verse number 2, and it says, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every man that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Turn there with me, if you would, in Exodus chapter 13. I want you to see something here about he's going to speak, and again, this is important because during the time of the Exodus and when they're trying to get out of there, the Passover was a big deal. And so this is going to be something that transpires after that, that the firstborn is holy unto the Lord. Now, when the Lord wipes out and gives a real sign before they're really willing to turn loose, all right, of God's people, the killing of the firstborn happens for anyone who didn't put the lamb's blood on the doorpost of the Passover lamb. And it really begins everything that we understand about Moses' law and everything that will go forward. Sometimes we miss that key instruction there of everything. Again, we know he's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We know that in Genesis, there were killing of lambs, and that was ordered because we can see it between Cain and Abel. But we see again a lamb being slain and put on the doorpost because the firstborn child is holy unto the Lord. Now, I don't know how many of you are in here, but I'm a firstborn child to my parents. So when I read the story, maybe it doesn't mean as much to you that the blood went on the doorpost back there at the Passover, but if you're the oldest child, you listen up and you turn your ears on when the story comes past. If your parents, because again, all the other folks in the household didn't really have to worry about what was going to happen that night, but to the firstborn child, it was very important what his parents did. They're going to set, with the firstborn child, you're going to set a precedent that's going to follow with your other children. It's going to be something that happens in the home. So, and if you would, I marked it. I don't know if you've already turned back there, but I want to read to you just a couple verses out of the book of Exodus in chapter number 13. Exodus 13 and 2. It says, sanctify unto me all the firstborn whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine. I want you to look down at verse number 12, yes. That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix and every firstling that cometh out of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord. So there's two indications here. There's one of every firstborn in verse number 2, and then at 12 it makes a very distinction of the firstborn male is also going to be special, and it's going to be the Lord's. Again, it's going to be set apart for the Lord. And so as he goes through this and we make that application to the Lord Jesus, everything had been ordered. Circumcision comes on the eighth day. And as we read through, again, I don't know that this you need it, but you can write down Leviticus chapter number 12 if you want to go back and read the chapter. But really in the first few verses, it's going to talk about what happens in the days of purification for Mary. The way the Bible breaks it down in Leviticus chapter number 12, it's going to be 7 days of purification. Then the eighth day is counted with the other 33 that will be coming after that. So there's 40 days of purification that happens for a woman when she has a child and brings him. And again, all that is being happening during this time. So by the time they come to the temple with the baby, he is 40 days old. She is completed, so this is the 41st day, and because she has fulfilled her time of purification, and now they're going to come and make an offering to the Lord for their firstborn son, all right? And they're going to come. Now, I want you to understand that this is kind of, maybe you don't understand that, but if you were to, again, refer to it, look to it, they're commanded to bring a lamb. But the Bible gives a contingency plan for those who cannot afford to offer a lamb. Because they're commanded to bring a lamb and a turtle dove. So it's a plus thing. A lamb and a pigeon. All right? But then the Bible says, but if you're not able to offer a lamb, then you offer two turtle doves. All right? And a lot of times, or two pigeons. Now, I don't know how many of you understand this. And again, I'm really trying to work my way to Simeon this morning. But I want you to understand, when you start singing a song about and two turtle doves and a partridge, listen, you can hang up the partridge in a pear tree. All right, but the two turtle doves were something that's been preached on throughout history, all right? And so this is going to be a sacrifice to honor the firstborn son, not of Joseph, but of God the Father. And so as we go forward here, we realize that all this is being done. God knew exactly what he had ordered, exactly what day his son would appear at the temple because of the day of his birth and when his mother would have fulfilled the days of purification. And so 41 days, he shows up at the temple. Now, there's a man that's in Jerusalem, according to the scripture, named Simeon, and again, you're going to see the term as we read it, that the Holy Spirit is upon him. In the Old Testament times, before salvation had come and the cleansing, all right, of the blood of Jesus Christ and washing away of our sins, the Holy Spirit did not indwell a believer. It rested upon him. And so the Holy Spirit is upon Simeon because he has not been redeemed yet. And as he is under the presence, the same way, if you could say, the Old Testament saints of difference of him, the difference here between him, but also what we understand is John the Baptist. So I wanted you to pick that up. The two people that we've looked at are spirit-led individuals. John the Baptist from his mother's womb. And it doesn't give us that terminology. It's going to separate Simeon as someone who was just, devout, and he had the Holy Ghost upon him. So read with me, if you would, in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to tell you, Simeon was a special guy. He was somebody who had waited, he was waiting for the consolation of the Lord because it had been revealed to him by the Spirit of God that he wasn't going to see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. Now, we understand the story, and many people have preached on Simeon. But again, here, I want you to understand why God chose this man. This is a man who is just. He's devout. All right, these two things talk about his, not just his faith. Faith is covered with devout, but just is talking about the way he lived his faith. He was a just man. That means he didn't, again, according to, he didn't steal from anybody. He didn't, you know, we say, well, I don't really steal, all right? He didn't steal time. He didn't steal money. He did, again, we could go through the list of things that he was going on here, but just means that if somebody was going to, you know, they say, well, you know, have you ever seen that? You know, a lot of people, how many of you ever watched The American Pickers? All right, I saw all the hands, and those of you that didn't raise your hand that didn't want to admit it, it's okay. All right, so, but again, you know, they just go around the country and buy old things, you know, things that are, you know, just antique-y and that kind of thing. As they would use the term rusty gold, all right, they use all kinds of terminology like that, right? And so what they do, though, we would say those are just men, if you've ever watched the show, because they'll say, what do you want for that? Now, they are not against, bringing somebody down and talking them down to where they think a fair price is. But at the same time, they're very just with people, because if a person has no idea what that's worth and they say $20, they go, oh, no, that's worth this much, I'm going to give you 500 for it. And there will be so many people that they do that, but that's the kind of man that Simeon was. He was not going to defraud anyone. He was someone who was just in his thinking. He was someone who was good to all men. He wasn't going to run around a corner and say, look at what I stole from this person. I got it for 20 bucks and it's worth this much money. You say, preacher, that's just getting a deal. Yes, but again, justice is being just with all men. It's being fair everywhere you go. It's being fair to even people who don't know better, that you can slide one by. All right? And he says, just and devout. I like devout. Devout just means he was faithful. If it had to be done, he took care of it. If it was according to the law, that's how he lived. Devout means that he lived his faith. What a great terminology for someone who was waiting to see the Lord's Christ. That's a good picture of a Christian. Someone who's just with all men. I mean, any type of business deal, any way you can slice it, he is just. And people say, man, this guy, he's just, you know. I've heard people say, you know, I heard a man say one time, when, he was someone who, spiritually speaking, I thought highly of him in our church. And I remember when something should have been done justly in his life, I saw him look at a man and say, you can't get blood from a turnip. Amen. And I just know this. I met another man that I had been around, and again, financially speaking, I know him that even if he took a loss at times, he was the type of man that if you really needed it and he felt like that was how you were going to feel, like it was just, he just trusted the Lord, and he'd give you the shirt right off his back to make sure that he was just. If that's what it took, if that's how it went, he was going to be just in all those things. And I'm not talking about being poor or being defrauding yourself all the time and always taking loss. I'm talking about being just. There's a just way to do things. There's a fair way to do things where everyone in the thing, and listen, what we desperately need in America is not men who say they're a Christian, but men who act like Christians. Who men are just and fair and keep their word. Listen, it would change the world. When we do business with people and people can see through even our business lives that we're just and we're devout. You say, well, what do you mean about devout? Again, there's just some things, you know. You could tell a devout farmer because he wasn't in the field on Sunday. Everything was put up in the barn and work was done from Monday through Saturday, and it might have been done through the night and at midnight, but on Sunday, his tractors were not in the field. Work was not being done because they were devout, and it showed everybody. It didn't matter what was going on. They stayed until they could get it done on Saturday because Sunday was holy unto the Lord. It was a set apart day. Now, I know the scripture says that a man, if your ox gets down in the ditch, you're going to pull it out. And if I'm on my way to church and I see you in the ditch, I'll throw a rope on you. Amen. We'd put a chain on you and try to drag you out. Now, I'm not talking about anything like that. People understand. I had one time I missed church on Sunday. One of our friends, our neighbors in the community, I mean, overnight, their garage, they had bought so much stuff from the American Pickers that they put it up over top of their garage, and it fell on their car. I mean, all that money that they had stored up of all those junk items that nobody, I mean, they wanted, it crushed their car. And you say, what do you mean? Well, again, they couldn't get out of the house. They were frantic. There were some things that had to be taken right then. And I missed because, again, I wanted to show myself just and devout and fair to them, and I stayed with them and helped them in their time of need. You say, preacher, well, what'd you do? I went to church that night after we got it done. But I just want to tell you, you know, sometimes we have things here, but what's going to be faithful? What's going to be right? Listen, you don't realize how much it tells people when you back out of the driveway every Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, every Sunday morning. You don't have to drive over and tell your neighbors you're Christians. They see it every day when you back out of your driveway. Every day you back out of your driveway, every time you come to church, every time you're faithful, every time you're in your place. And again, when we're gracious about things, even in our business. So here he begins with Simeon. This is the man that he is. And he talks about waiting for the consolation of the Lord. The consolation here just is going to be a comfort. It's going to be, in the 1828 dictionary, it says this, that which comforts or refreshes the spirit, the cause of comfort. Now, you do realize when man died in the garden, he didn't die physically. His soul didn't die, but his spirit died. All right? And the thing that came to refresh the spirit of all men, all right, was the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to die for the sins of the world so that that spirit that was upon men could be in man and quicken the spirit and refreshing him from within. And that could not happen until that man, woman, child were born again into the family of God. Simeon here is waiting for the consolation of the Lord, and he sees him face to face in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was revealed unto him. I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit is a revealer. If you're not sure about that, he's going to be. Jesus is going to continue to say that during his earthly ministry, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's not only going to comfort. He's the comforter. He's going to comfort us, but he's also going to be, he's the revealer of all truth. Do you want to read the Bible? You say, I just don't understand some things. Well, ask the person who's the revealer of truth. Ask the person who lives inside of you and say, Lord, open your word to me. Let me see what you want me to see. Speak to me from your word. And the one who penned, the one who spoke it to other men to pen it down, the Spirit of God can open your eyes and your heart to the word of God, and you can see it firsthand what God has penned down for you. Look at on with me in verse 27. And he came by the Spirit. That's not a little s. That's a big s in your King James Bible. Into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but with my first child, I was like, I didn't know how to hold my little baby girl. Okay, I was a man, and you know, after a while, I kind of would like palm her. But at first, I thought I was going to break her, like I was carrying a sack of eggs everywhere, you know, and I was worried about where she was. And if I mean, still, after 40 days, I was probably still carrying her that way, like she was just precious, and you know, I could break her with any little movement of anything, right? And I can just see them carrying baby Jesus in there that same way, and Simeon just snatched him up and started walking around, lifting him high up in the air. Now, I don't know about you, but my first instinct would be to tackle the guy. But then I'd have thought, if I tackle him, I'm going to hurt my baby. And so then you'd just be like, what am I supposed to do? Because if I hurt him, I'm going to hurt the baby. And I can imagine Mary and Joseph and all the things stirring in their mind, because they just walk in and they're looking for what line they're supposed to be in. And they're trying. Listen, I don't know about you, but, you know, if you've ever handled any kind of a bird, you don't lead them in like sheep. Okay? And so I don't know how they were bringing these two pigeons or turtle doves up in there, but listen, them things are probably flipping all out inside that cage and taking their, you know, or if they had to hold them, listen, you got to hold on to a bird if you're going to hold on to it. Anybody ever tried to catch a chicken? All right? They don't go to the chopping block like willingly. They, you know, they don't want to be, you know. So you say, well, preacher, you know, I'm just saying there were so many things going on, and sometimes we read the story and we forget really, literally what's happening. They're bringing these things in, and the baby's there, and he's so precious, and then somebody just snatches him up. The first thing they were thinking wasn't, he's just and devout. He's a kid snatcher. They weren't thinking, this guy's full of the Holy Ghost. They were like, get security in here. But then he begins to prophesy. And all the things that they were scared about start to flee away, because he's not speaking from his own words. He's prophesying in the Holy Ghost. He's getting God's word, and they're taken back. And I think all the fears and the thoughts and the things that were going on in their mind about, he's got my child and I've got to hold on to these birds, were starting to flee away, because now they're hearing from God's voice through Simeon. And he says to them, read it with me again, exactly what he says here. He says, and he took him up in his arms and blessed God. So we don't know exactly how he says it, but we know that the first thing that comes out of his mouth, when the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is in us or on us, it provokes us to praise. And when you were, if you were the one that saw the, and knew, again, this guy's really, again, he, the shepherds, all that were out there, but as a 40 days later at the temple, he's the first guy that realizes this is the Messiah's first trip to the temple. He realizes that he understands all the process of this is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. This is the salvation. He realizes that because he's going to go all the way to the end of his prophecy and look right at Mary and say, a sword shall pierce to thine own soul also. He's going to go through the whole process here. And he says here, he says, he blesses God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Think about this. I don't know about you, but most of us desperately want to hang on to this life. And we don't really understand all of how long Simeon had been holding on and waiting for the consolation of the Lord. But I mean, most of us as believers look for the comfort of the Lord, look for the consolation of the Lord. And for us in the New Testament age, our consolation is the rapture of the church. Or precious in the eyes of God are the death of his saints. Sometimes we would rather go in the rapture than die in peace and enter into rest. But when we realize that God has prepared, and for all of us, we don't know. There have been many that have gone before us and that did not make the rapture but entered into his rest. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, I don't think God is unjust. I don't think one is any better than the other. And he tries to express that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 by saying that we will not prevent them which asleep in Jesus Christ, but those that are dead in Christ will rise first. He's going to give them a 6-foot head start on the rest of us. They're going to take off, and we're not leaving without them. He's waiting until we get joined together before we depart this earth. And we're not going to go one just a little bit ahead of the other. We're all going to go at one time period. He realizes at this time period of Christmas, sometimes we wonder, but God has been so good through the revealer of truth, the Holy Spirit, who's revealing truth through Simeon here, that death is just another, it's a transition into a heavenly plane to be. Listen, the person who indwells me is going to allow me to transition from this plane to the other, not with pain, but with comfort. His job is comfort. And the one who's comforted Simeon and told him that his eyes, he would not pass until his eyes would see the Lord's Christ. He says, Lord, let me go home in peace now. Now, I don't know if he saw, but I think he did. He saw the cross coming for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he thought, you know, Lord, let me go on home so I don't have to see this precious child who's born for the rise and the fall of many is what he's going to say. I'd rather not see him put to death. I'd rather see him in this time. You know, there's so many people this time period that love to celebrate and talk a lot about Christmas and the baby in the manger, but they don't want to take him all the way to the cross. But Jesus isn't Jesus until you take him to the cross. And a lot of people will only take him to the cross, but they won't take him any farther to an empty tomb. And Jesus that I worship isn't Jesus unless there's an empty tomb from which he was risen. I'm just telling you today, he goes on and he says this. He says, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. If you've not underlined, listen, this is not a period in your Bible. This is a semicolon, the continuous thought. He says all people. He includes Jews and Gentiles and everyone. The book of Romans references back, and we've been studying it, and then Paul references back this exact gospel message here from Simeon that's given to him, Old Testament, Holy Spirit on him, prophecy Paul says Simeon's prophecy. He references back to Simeon's prophecy that all people are going to be saved through Jesus Christ. And then he says, he doesn't say the Jews first, because Jesus is a Jew. Simeon is a Jew. Everyone that's around them and the temple, everything around there, they knew that the salvation of the Jews was coming through their Messiah. What they didn't know was that he was coming to save all people. What they didn't understand was he was coming to save them, and he was going to be a light. Israel, up to this point, had been commanded to God to be a light or an oracle to all the rest of the world. And now he's saying, this baby is the culmination of your witness to the world, your light that will be out to the Gentiles. And what he says here is, he says, a light, look at verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory on thy people Israel. The Lord Jesus is a savior of all people, Jew and Gentile alike. But he was a light to lighten the Gentile world. There was already light given to Israel, that they knew the Messiah was coming, but the Gentile world didn't really understand all of that. And for us, we don't always talk about him as a king and a Messiah who will set up and we will rule and reign with him. We don't always see that until after we see the light of Jesus coming from heaven, dying on the cross and rising again. What a precious thought it is to realize that Jesus is the light to lighten the Gentiles, and he's the glory of his people Israel. Listen, one day you may not think about that, but in the millennial kingdom, when Jesus is set up on the throne, again, we miss it when he's seated on the throne in heaven. To him who's worthy of glory and honor and praise, he's the glory of his people Israel. He's the glory of his church. Paul says if we're going to glory in anything, we should glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. Here he says this, and he continues, and we're pressing towards the end here, and I'm waiting for the waving of the hands. Are they out? All right, I'm getting a wave in the back now, all right? So now he says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of. I don't know about you, but I think I would marvel. And Simeon blessed them and said, Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the rise and the fall again of many in Israel. Today, the fall and rising again of many is determined on what you do with Jesus Christ. Then, now, what you decide to do with Jesus will determine where you'll spend, whether you'll fall, stay fallen into sin, or whether you'll rise again with him one day in glory. Amen. We're going to close in prayer this morning. I'm not sure. I'm not going to wait for Sunday school numbers, but I'm sure it was big. All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you for the practice that went on. I pray that it went well. Lord, I pray you bring our young people back and also our parents to see their children just express what Jesus Christ did for us through the Christmas program. Help us now as we go to church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to dismiss you to head to the auditorium, and we'll get started in just a few minutes.